Hey Nick, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. Are you all refreshed from your holiday?
I am. How was it?
Good.
Brilliant.
Oh, excellent.
Don't want to be back, to be honest. I'd rather be in Tenby in West Wales where we were. It's lovely by the beach and stuff.
Yeah, it's nice.
Really lovely place, lovely town. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you came back yesterday?
We did, yes.
Fully
the drive
refreshed.
Back was a bit hairy because we had some really bad weather.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Across the whole of the UK, I think. Horrible rain and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, back. Isabel and Sophie gone swimming now because I think they want to pretend they're still by the sea.
Can't say I blame them.
Yeah, so it's the Martin show this week because I haven't done anything. Obviously, being on holiday.
Well, so you had no internet either, I believe.
No. So we did the usual thing where we just go along somewhere, don't book anything. We managed to fluke something good happening again where, because it's February half term, and I guess people either jet off to Spain to try and find some sun or haven't got much money after Christmas. After we stayed the first night in a hotel, we went to a rental properties place and they had loads of properties available. So got a nice apartment, open plan living, which was good practice for when we perhaps get our extension done.
Yeah.
Had secure parking. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Yeah. And I was stuck here toiling away.
We were lucky we had nice weather as well.
Yeah.
I managed to get a few runs in along the beach, which was great.
Did you manage to keep your run streak going?
Yes, yeah. So because I didn't have internet, I couldn't update. I didn't post to Facebook every day with the streaks, the updates. But when I went to the pub to get Wi-Fi just to check emails quickly each evening, every now and again I posted a couple of runs along the beach.
Fantastic.
Which is great.
So you're up to about 50 now then?
51, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's right. Yeah.
Excellent.
And I'm a bit worried actually because I might get to a certain point where I'm expecting to miscalculate it or post the wrong number some days. So I get like 6 months through the year and I add up all how many days have gone in the year so far and I'm not at the right number. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. We've not got a leap year due anytime soon, have we?
I don't know. Is it not this? It's not this year.
It's not this year.
2015,
no.
Is it coming? Yeah. Anyway, so what have you been up to?
Well, after the podcast last week, we talked about joining up data and whether it's time to knock it on the head and all that sort of stuff. And I basically didn't really take any actions. You were, of course, away on holiday. And so I took that as an excuse of not taking any actions myself. But I did sort of decide to do a bit of thinking about it and, you know, spend some time soaking on it. So, I mean, what's happened in the last week? Basically, that I had a couple of hot leads, as I called them last time, from cold calls who were interested and were going to talk to other people. One of them that was the hottest of the hot leads has not panned out.
Right.
Which is, it's incredible really, because she was keen to, the lady that needed to do the work was keen to do the work with joined up data. But she had to get it approved from her MD. So she went away to do that and I chased her up earlier this week and she got back to me a couple of days later. So just to say, the MD said no.
Right.
And it's talking about, I was going to charge her £20 basically to do what she wanted to do. Just as, you know, discount, just to get another customer through the door, really, and see what it was they wanted to do, make sure we could do it properly. And, £20, MD wouldn't do it. And not because of the price, but because, he's worried about the data being shared. So the way it would work was, you know, send me the data somehow, which is via the website generally, but, and he didn't want it to get out there, which, that combined with, I had another sign up, another message from somebody via the website to say that they would like it, but as a downloadable product rather than as a online service the way it is. So, you know, taking into account the few contacts I have had with people that would be potential customers, it sounds like the downloadable product would be the preferred way for people to go. Mm. And the customer I have had back in November, they were very worried about the data as well. I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement with them effectively.
Right. You wouldn't want to be doing that for every customer.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you'd have a standard one, you know, on the website, which says this is our non-disclosure agreement, blah, 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 part of the terms and conditions. So that was, that sort of happened by the buy side. You know, that was just, I was getting, not really working on it, but that happened anyway. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about it. I had a meeting with that accountant last week as well, which was interesting. They've got a team of about 14, I think, is in the accountancy firm, and they manage a lot of their sort of client information in Excel spreadsheets. So they use loads of software for submitting returns and all that sort of stuff and managing that sort of information. But the actual client management and so the business side of it. It's all done in spreadsheets. So they've got multiple spreadsheets with where they have to, you know, double type information or triple type information. You know, this information is going in all these spreadsheets to keep track of things, and they know that they need to go to the next level. And they hadn't really looked into any products, and I kind of hoped they had, so they knew a baseline of what was out there and what they could do. But we had an interesting conversation. So there's definitely a product there. There's definitely something there. They need to move to a product of some sort, which will do the sort of practice management for them. And there's a whole category of practice management software. And I went away and had a look, and there's loads of it. There's so many different applications out there. Xero have bought a practice management software company last year, I think it was. Mm. And so they're rolling that out now. Well, it's available now. So if accountants have Xero partners, they can get it for free.
Right.
Otherwise, it's something like $80 a month or something for them to use it. So, you know, they're in the game and they're obviously pretty good. There are a few other sort of SaaS type offerings with good design and all the rest of it, which look really good. And then there are the sort of the embedded systems. There's a company called Iris and other Digita, I think there's another one. There were loads, basically, that are well-established and been around a long time. And I was looking at them thinking, well, is there another angle I could come at it if I did decide to do it as a product? And it's all really catered for. So I think it really looks like it's a solved problem.
Right.
You know, and it would be hard to get into it without spending a lot of money and time and all the rest of it, which I don't really have. So I also used my new cold calling skills, and I called five accountants just to ask what they do and if they use something, and they all had software that they used.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it's not something I'd want to get into. But I gave them a brief write-up about what we talked about and said, you know, this is the sort of thing you need to think about if you do go out to look at the market and see what products are available. So hopefully that's helpful for them. So
what's next?
That's a good question. I mean, so the joined
up. So is that it then? Is joined up data as it, the idea was at the moment? Is that put to sleep?
I don't. Yes and no. Sitting on the fence. The thing is, I've spent a lot of time validating it and you know, doing my best to validate it. Knowing whether I've done the proper job on that, I don't know, but I've done my best. And I think I've done a reasonable job on validating it. And based on that, you'd say, no, it's not a goer. It should probably not continue. But there's one other area that I've got that's nagging me, which we talked about before, which is about people that need to import and export data from various systems. And there's quite often a problem of, you know, you get your data out of one system, you need to make it migrate it to another, and it doesn't fit, and you need to manipulate it in some way. And that, again, could be done with joined up data. So I think I'm going to do that. So maybe do a few ads and, you know, write a landing page, a few ads around that, and try and see if there's any traction there. But I'm not going to get heavy into it. I'm not going to get into cold calling and all that sort of stuff. I'm just going to see what happens. And that's the last thing, I think. I think if that doesn't get anywhere,
right,
there's no positive signs from that, then it will maybe knock on the head, but maybe still carry on in the background as something else, which I'll come on to in a while. But
right.
And I had a call from an email from Fleming, actually, while you're away, because he'd listened to the podcast and said, right, when you're thinking about your next idea, he says what he likes to do. So this is Fleming from Inflometrics. He likes to, he kind of has a list of criteria that, which makes perfect sense of what whether an idea fits for him.
Mm.
And it's based on, you know, your values, what you want to be doing next, and lots of different things. And I'd heard that before, really, people saying that, but I'd not got my own list of things.
That's quite spooky, because I'd literally started before I went away on holiday writing out a list for myself.
Did you?
Yeah. So I've got it here. I don't know whether it's finished or not. But it was around kind of what we spoke about last time, about not wanting clients calling me up and all those
exactly.
kind of things.
Exactly, yeah.
So go on.
Yeah,
go on.
Well, this is it. And so it kind of made me think that's a really good idea and I should do that. So that's what I did. I sort of went away and I, part of my navel gazing this week, I did a bit of, I retreated into the code a bit. And so I did a bit of coding as a bit of therapy. But other than that, it's just been really thinking about this sort of stuff. And so, yeah, I wrote down a bunch of things. I read through that, you know, the strengths finder we talked about.
Yep.
I did that. So I read through all that again and picked out the things from that. And I think given that I'm probably going to have to do freelancing, at least off and on, you know, I'm not going to be able to just give it up.
Yeah.
My time's going to be limited. So rather than think about the things that aren't strengths that I should work on, I'm just going to concentrate on the strengths, you know, and focus on the areas that I the StrengthsFinder says that, you know, are good areas for me. So based on all that, I came up with, and some of them are very common to most people, I think, that are freelancers wanting to get out of freelancing into products. But I need to separate earning money from my time. So yeah, that's a key thing that I want to do. Is that's the key driver for this. Another thing is not being required to respond to people's demands. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that he talks about, not wanting to have customers or whatever, or not wanting to be bothered by customers. Now, I don't, the one I've got on there, not be required to respond to other people's demands, I did it that way because if you've got a client as a freelancer, you kind of have to respond to them during the project. You know, yeah, you kind of have to be around for them. Where I think with a product, yes, you have to do support, but you can outsource the support.
Yep.
You can, you know, you can dip in and out of it. You don't have to respond, you know, really quickly to keep the customer happy because they're not paying you a daily rate or whatever. You know, they've bought a product, and so the expectations for support are based around that. So that's why I worded it that way. And then another one, I wanted. So my one of my strengths finding things was solving problems, the sort of restorative thing, and so I really, really resonate with that. And I think that regularly working on new ideas and solving problems is something I wrote down. I think part of the problem I have a lot of the time is that I start a side project or I start investigating a side project and then I get a bit bored of it.
Yeah.
So once I've worked out what it is I need to do, executing on it is like, unless I'm really interested in it or passionate about it, then it's not going to happen. Or it's going to be hard work for me to do. So I need to have something to keep me ticking over with new things to work on and solving new problems. So that's got to be a requirement. And related to that really is always learning, always be learning new things. Learning was one of the strengths as well that came out. And so, you know, whether it's coding around business or personal development, I always need to be learning something as part of it.
Yeah.
So those are really the things I came up with. And looking at them now, it looks like quite a wish list.
Doesn't that to me though, like working on the new problems every 3 to 6 months or something like that?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like freelancing? Or you take on a new project it every does, 3 to 6 months?
It does, but the difference is you're separating out earning money. You know, the other couple before that kind of discount the freelancing.
I guess it's like the triangle of needs though, isn't it? Where you can have two of the things, whether it's price, how quickly you want it, and I can't think of the third one. But if you have a triangle of the three things that you want, such as a new interest in projects, separate your time and earning, and I don't know what the other one would be, flexibility or something, you know, you can have two of those, but you can't have all three.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Because if you start a SaaS or something, although it'll have new problems and new things come up, you know, you're going to be working on it for the next 2 to 5 years or something.
Yeah, well, so I've done a lot of thinking, like I said, about this. And so I have found that even if I come up with a SaaS idea or something and I'm really keen on it, I do still, once I've worked out how I'd do it and you know, think about all the rest of it, I get this sinking feeling of like, right, I've done that now, I want to do something else, you know. And it's even before I get to the stage of trying to find out if there's a market or whatever, I can discount something because I just get bored of the idea of it, you know. So even if I had something that I was really keen on, SaaS product or otherwise, I'm worried that I would get bored of it and it would become something that I just want to get rid of as soon as possible rather than spend the rest of my working life building the business up. So, you know, and I've got a few options of things that are sort of semi-ongoing ideas. I've got hundreds of ideas, like we all have, tucked away in a spreadsheet somewhere. But things that are ongoing at the moment, I've got like there's a big freelancing project I've done over the last 5 years or so, off and on. So I created it originally from scratch for this client, and we've migrated it sort of around from a local system to a national system to a global system, blah, blah, blah. And that's around sort of finance and auditing. But I always thought I could turn that into a product and sell it as a SaaS. And that would, I know there's a market for it because there are lots of companies that need it. But it's enterprisey, which means a lot of time spent, you know, courting clients and all the rest of it and long sales processes potentially. And I would get bored of it. You know, I do it off and on. I do probably 2 or 3 months a year on it in upgrades for the client that I've got, which is fine. But if I was doing it day in, day out, I'd get bored of it. So pretty much I can strike that off my list of things to do. The meetings app that we talked about already, you know, I could go into that. But again, you know, I think I get pretty bored of it pretty quickly. I like working on it in fits and spurts, but not continuously. And then I've got darts. So I've got a darts app in the App Store. I've got the website that I run around darts. but there's not really any money in it. You know, it's not, I don't think darts players spend a lot of money. Once you've got your set of darts, that's it. Mm. There's not a lot else you're going to spend your money on. And I've certainly had a hard time with any ads or anything that I've put on the website and so on. So I'm not sure about that. I'd like to work on it, but again, not full time. So then I kind of started to run out, but I started to think that I like developing code and writing apps with the Qt framework. And, you know, I don't know whether I'd get bored of working with that after a while, but something around the latest thing I'm mulling over is something around educational stuff around Qt.
Yep.
Books or videos or, you know, and with that, I can imagine building an app every now and again as a tutorial, perhaps, which would tie into the sort of doing new things, solving problems. Yeah. So it's really early days and it might not go anywhere, but I'm still thinking that might be something I want to do, is go down that route.
Yep. What about joining up with someone else who's got an idea, who's not technical, who can't do the coding, but is perhaps in sales or marketing or a startup that needs a CTO or something?
Yeah, like that's interesting.
When we went to the Google campus, there were adverts, weren't there, looking for, yeah. Well, there are adverts, people offering themselves as a virtual CTO.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I saw them or whether they're there, but there's perhaps people who are looking for, you know, a technical co-founder.
This is going to sound odd, but I'm not sure I want to work with anybody else.
Right.
I met with Paul, you know, Irish Paul.
Irish Paul.
Yeah. He probably wouldn't appreciate his going in that. But I met up with him for a few beers the other day, and he was talking about exactly that, us getting together and working on something. And you know, I don't know what it is, but I've got this aversion to it. I want to do something on my own. I don't know whether it's just I need to prove something to myself that I can build something on my own and make some success of it. But that's really a big driver for me. I should add that to my list, perhaps, of things that are important. But it makes perfect sense to team up with other people, share the load, might get more done, all the rest of it. But I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me at the moment. I might change next week. But.
So what's the next step then?
I don't know, I haven't thought that far.
Well, you've got to
have
some action for next week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose the action is really, if I'm going to do this import thing on joined up data, I need to get that done and so maybe a landing page for around importing, exporting data and AdWords setup. That's for the next week.
Yep.
Whilst bubbling under the surface is thinking about what, you know, whether this Qt framework idea is going to be something that I could actually do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no idea if people that develop against the Qt framework would buy stuff like this, you know. Educational material. I'm sure there are some of them that would. Whether it's enough, I don't know.
Well, again, you can easily set up a landing page and try out with some ads and stuff, can't you? And you know, get a mailing list. Well, that'd be the steps to do anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Get a mailing list built up while you're either writing the content or creating it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it would be, you know, I haven't got any footprint at all in the community, so I need to start building that up as well, or helping people out as much as I can in that way.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not an expert, although I enjoy it. You know, I'd need to learn a lot more before.
Yeah, but it's always a way, isn't it? You know more than what you think you do.
Yeah.
That's imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, really? Absolutely. Yeah. And you learn by doing, you know, by writing an article about something, you'd probably become an expert on that thing rather than, much more of an expert than you were before you wrote the article.
Yeah. Well.
So I'm trying to be positive and trying to think of the next opportunity. And I think that's, I listened to myself in the last couple of podcasts. I thought, you miserable old git. Need to cheer up. Get on with it.
Yeah.
Stop mucking about. So, yeah. So,
I know what would cheer you up.
Go on then.
Some 5-star reviews.
That would cheer me up.
People need to leave some 5-star reviews.
They do.
I didn't realize that, you just showed me now in iTunes, you can filter, or the reviews are filtered by country, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I've not had anyone from the US leave a review, which I know we don't have as many US listeners as we do UK ones, which I guess makes sense. So on. But if you can leave a 5-star review, that would certainly cheer Martin up.
And, that would, very much
he would
so.
Be more happy than the next podcast. So I've got a couple of updates.
All right, go on.
I guess. Oh, well, yeah. I kind of made this one happen yesterday. So I had an update for you. Well, the first one is I bought the domain name that I mentioned last time.
Oh,
it's gone through. So golf.io is the domain name.
Cool.
And so it's just a really nice domain name, I think, isn't it? It's obviously golf. yeah. How many a skateboard is going to be about? I guess it could be about the golf car, but so yeah, I literally that transfer has gone through this morning just when you turned up. So I need to figure out what to do with it now.
Yeah.
Whether I use that for the stats tracking side of things or the kind of student management. I guess that's practice management almost for the teaching pros.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So yesterday, Sophie and I stopped at a service station on the way home with Isabel as well. Cause like the journey was 4 hours in total to get back and she stopped somewhere 2 hours. And, the Starbucks was pretty empty apart from this one guy dressed up in what you can spot him a mile off, just golf clothing.
yeah.
And so he was there on his laptop and on his phone. And you can tell cause teaching golf professionals, whatever, they get given all the golfing clothes for free. So it was obvious he was a golf professional. So I thought I can either sit here and just drink my coffee and, you know, go away, or I can, you know, have a chat with him and, you know, as I would put my pitch to him in an email or whatever, just have a chat with him. And so I waited for Sophie and Isabel to pop off to the toilet and so on. And I was like, oh, I guess you're a golf professional then. And he was like, yep, how do you know? and so I had a chat with him, and it was interesting because he's, as well as being giving golf lessons and so on, he's actually a sales rep for one of the brands, the golf equipment brands. And so I chatted with him about the ideas and so on. And he gave me some feedback that, you know, I'd heard before, which was good to get it reaffirmed. But it kind of opened, he said again about the practice management side of things would be interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought with that as well, you know, the initial thing I was offering around a website, that's such a commodity thing these days. That's also like something you can just bolt on as a freebie and say that you pay for the practice management and you get an easy website to update and so on. So I might throw that in. But the interesting thing is, because he's a sales rep, he travels all over Wales, meeting with all the teaching golf professionals, trying to get them to stock his stuff that he's selling on behalf of this golf equipment manufacturer.
Yeah.
And so he was like, you know, if you do something, let me know, because I'm visiting all these golf professionals and could pitch your idea or sell your product or whatever to them.
Wow.
It's not really a market or an avenue to market that I thought of before.
Yeah.
But there are, I guess, there's lots of, they are the sales reps at the end of the day that travel around to these people.
If they're already going, then
exactly, yeah.
If they could be an affiliate for you, then
it's another opportunity for them to earn money, obviously.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I'm glad I decided to pluck up the courage and say hello to him and have a chat
brilliant.
And so on.
That's really good. Yeah.
Just funny. And that's about it, really, I think.
Yeah.
But the other thing was really just general commentary about, you know, not having the internet last week or this week has just been brilliant in terms of no Twitter, no Facebook. Those are two things that I've been happy to ignore. And I almost want to kind of get them out of my life to a certain degree, I think. In that, you know, Facebook's all right, I guess you just dip in every now and again. But on Twitter, I've got some lists of people that I follow, you know, startup lists, an SEO list, and so on. And, you know, I've felt previously, you know, I've got to check this SEO list every day in case there's any important update that comes through from Google or anything like that. And, you know, from the last few days, it's you know, what Fleming and I and you have spoken about and other people have written about in terms of kind of entrepreneur porn.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the stuff that, you know, startup people like reading and then don't actually end up doing anything. The SEO stuff is just similar, really, of just reading for the sake of it. You know, every now and again, there's a little nugget there, but does it really make any big difference? I don't know. So I kind of want to cut out Twitter and Facebook from my life, really, and just focus on, I guess, doing stuff. And it's a difficult one.
I'm not as hot on it as you as the Twitter and Facebook stuff. I hardly ever go on Facebook.
So I only check Twitter once a day,
right?
But that's generally before I go. Perhaps just because I'm checking at the wrong time, just before I go to bed. And so, you know, gets me thinking about all this stuff, and I end up just adding. The stuff I favourite on Twitter is stuff I want to go back and read later. So I end up with loads of stuff favourited that I never go back
and
read.
You never go back to,
but there's always kind of a stressfulness of it. You know, there's this stuff that I favourited that I need to read and I do exactly the same thing.
It's
information overload at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. But we'll see how that goes. But then I thought of an idea where we obviously have spoken about using Facebook and Twitter for a marketing platform.
Yeah.
So you kind of need a tool where you can do the stuff you need to do, such as follow people, unfollow people, and tweet. And there's stuff out there that you can do. So you can do the marketing stuff you need to do on Twitter, but without actually consuming any of the content on Twitter or Facebook. So you don't get sucked back in. I guess for the tweeting stuff, there's things like Buffer App, isn't there?
And yeah.
I guess maybe there are tools out there for doing the automatic following and unfollowing.
There was something I saw this week about finding followers and stuff that There's loads of apps out there, like marketing type apps that will do that sort of stuff for you, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I think perhaps the problem is trying to focus on too many things at once, you know? Just forget about Twitter in the time for a product anyway. Just concentrate on one thing at a time rather than trying to do it all at once. Yeah.
Well, that's it for me.
I was going to ask you, actually, you were talking then and almost discarded the whole website building for golf professionals idea.
Yeah.
So is that the way you're focusing now? You're focusing on the CRME sort of?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this crazy idea while I was away, actually, because I've been looking at WordPress, and WordPress is all right and it's interesting, and I think I set up a site for Sophie, but I'm not sure I want to become a WordPress expert.
Yeah.
I had this crazy idea of rebuilding, because WordPress is open source, isn't it?
Yeah.
But rebuilding WordPress in ASP.NET. MVC. Because it, you know, MVC now with the views and all that kind of stuff, you know, the way WordPress is architected is really, really good in terms of the templates. And if it doesn't have a particular template, it defaults to another, you know, base template and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you could do that so nicely now in ASP.NET MVC.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know.
But you heard the interview with him on Tim Ferriss, didn't you?
Mm.
And it's he actually said about this, you know, people wanting to copy WordPress. He's like, well, good luck to him, because it's taken them however many years to get to where they are with teams of developers.
Yeah.
It always looks, you know, it's always the same, isn't it? You see a product and you think, oh, I could develop that in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And actually, when you get into it, it's much more involved than that.
Because what I want is the power of WordPress, but without having to learn PHP.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. It's a crazy idea.
It's a crazy idea. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. But, I mean, if, I guess the one thing you could do is, if I do end up building, you know, this offering where you can have a one-page site with a simple blog and stuff like that, all the golf pros is open source that particular bit, because it is the bolt-on or commodity bit that just ticks the box for these people. So we shall see.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with creating something that isn't WordPress but is a website builder for golf professionals.
Mm.
It's completely bespoke to do that one job. The problem is that every time you get a new feature you want, you're going to have to rebuild it rather than get a plugin off the shelf that might do it for you and that sort of thing. So that's the issue there. But sounds good. So what are your actions then for next week, since you are now back at work?
Well, I've got golf.io, the domain name, haven't I? So
you have to flesh that out.
Figure out what I'm going to do with that. I think I'm going to get some landing pages up around the... I've only started calling it practice management in this podcast, actually, because you use that word.
Yeah.
I guess... I haven't really had a name for it in terms of CRM or student portal or whatever for the golf teaching professionals to keep the notes on about who they're teaching and the videos and so on. So either way, get something up about that, a landing page, get some ads up, and see if I can build a little bit of an email list just to pose some questions to a few people about what they want and so on.
I wouldn't use practice management as a term, though, for keywords, because it's overloaded. Right. You know, you've got dental practice management, accounting practice management, law practice management.
Yeah,
as I found in the past week, just having
my golf
around.
Practice management.
There you go. But yeah, so
how about yourself?
Well, just the actions around. So just around the import data, import export data. I'm going to set up at least one landing page and start firing some ads at it.
Yeah,
and just spend maybe 2 weeks, and at the end of 2 weeks, so two podcast time. In two podcast time, we'll have a go no go decision on what I'm going to do with joined up data.
Okay. In terms of the QT idea,
I think I'm just going to keep on mulling that over, really, because although I'm really keen on the idea now, it's still fresh.
What you need to do is go and spunk a load of money on the domain name, and then you have to do it.
QT.com.
Does anyone tell you that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Not.
Right, I guess that's it then.
Yep.
I might have moved to Tenby by this time next week, so
that
might be on Skype.
Record the podcast in
Tenby.
We can
go to Tenby. Yeah, nice. And go for a... That's going to sound a bit romantic, though. I'm going to say nice walk along the beach. Run along the beach. Sounds getting weirder. Right, let's finish
there, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, then. Bye.